the Julio-Claudian soap opera, part 4, Caligula. Actually, although that's a term that we use for the third emperor, it really isn't correct because it's a nickname. His full name was Gaius Julius Caesar Germanicus. He was born in 12 A.D., lived till 41 A.D., and is emperor from 37 to 41 A.D. Yeah, I know he's only emperor for 4 years. It just seems like a really long 4 years. Now, the term Caligula, which translated in Latin means little boots or bootikins, is a reference that was given to him because, of course, he's the son of Germanicus, and he frequently went with Germanicus, and he loved to be with the soldiers, and he would have, they actually made him a little miniature Roman uniform with a wooden sword, and he would march and drill with the soldiers. So it's the soldiers that actually gave him his name. Now, of course, Caligula ends up being one of the most perverted of all the emperors. And does some really strange and bizarre stuff. Now, when he is made emperor at the death of Tiberius, remember, Tiberius picked him for the simple reason that he wanted someone who would be so bad that everyone would look back and say, wow, Tiberius was a really good guy. We just didn't really appreciate him. But he does have competition. I mean, he's technically supposed to co-rule with Gemellus, which is the son of Tiberius's son Drusus, and his wife Livilla, who, of course, poisoned Drusus. But Gemellus isn't around for very long because Gemellus had this hacking cough. He used to drive Caligula nuts. And one night, he said that he finally figured out a way to put an end to it. And he had Macro, the Praetorian commander, cut his head off. So that stopped his coughing. Now, some of the things that Caligula did there, that one of the historians wrote what is supposed to be a 32-volume account of the perversions of Caligula, and only the introduction of it survives, and it's enough to curl your hair. It's about anything you can think of happened under this gentleman's reign. Fortunately, the empire was well governed by local officials. And to show you how bad he was, I mean, Bob Guccione, the owner of Penthouse Magazine in the 70s, made this disgusting X-rated movie with violence and sex and everything with Caligula. And the problem, most people said, was that, you know, he probably played Caligula down a little bit. It was probably a little worse than that. So let's look at some of the stuff that he did before we bump him off, because he's going to be assassinated. Okay, he's supposed to have committed incest with his sisters, particularly Drusilla, his oldest sister, but also with Agrippina the younger and Julia Livilla. We're pretty sure most historians pretty much agree on Drusilla. The other two are somewhat questionable. Him and her had always been kind of close all the time. Now, that doesn't mean these three women weren't married to other men, which they were. In the case of Drusilla, she became pregnant, and Caligula was afraid that it was his, and if so, he kept thinking of what happened to the father of Zeus, and decided that he did not want her to give birth to that child because it might be greater than him. So he aborted the pregnancy and killed Drusilla in the process, although he made her a goddess. Drusilla's husband eventually, in 39 A.D., led a plot to kill him. Her husband was Aemilius Lepidus and was unsuccessful. And later on in the same year, another plot by Lentulus Gatulicus, which also failed. You have Agrippina and Livilla implicated in that. So we have people trying to get even with him. I mean, it eventually gets to the point that Caligula has a German barbarian bodyguard because he doesn't trust the Praetorians anymore. He has so many political enemies, and he trusts them because he's given orders that if anything happens to him, his German guards are all to be killed. So there's a good reason why they keep an eye on him. Now, early in Caligula's reign, he made what he believed was a metamorphosis from a human being into a god. He used to have these terrible headaches, galloping headaches, he referred to them. It's probably severe migraines. And at one point passed out, and most people thought he was going to die. And when he came out of it, he believed that all the pain and everything had been him transforming into a living god on earth. And this causes a lot of problems, particularly when he's first introduced, because there's this great scene in the I, Claudius series where Macro tells the senators about this, and everybody starts laughing. And Macro says, just remember, he believes it. That's all that really matters. And there's one scene where one of the senators comes up and tells Caligula he's glad that he's better and so forth and so on, and that he had prayed for him. And Caligula says, yes, I understand that you even offered your own life in return for mine. That's very noble of you. And he goes, oh, yes, definitely, Caesar. I certainly did. And Caligula goes, well, we have a problem then, don't we? And he goes, what do you mean? And he says, well, I'm here, but so are you. So take care of it by sunset. So they make the guy go out and commit suicide. He was going to take a military expedition, but a storm damaged his fleet, and so he ordered his legions to punish Neptune for trying to stop him. So they stabbed the Mediterranean Sea and then collected wagon loads of seashells so that he could have a triumph in Rome over the god Neptune, the goddess of the sea, the god of the sea, which was interesting. He spent lots of money, at one point turning the Senate into a house of prostitution, stocking it with senators' wives, expecting the senators then to spend great deals of money buying them back. The only person he could trust to do a lot of things was Uncle Claudius, who he was always fascinated with, because Uncle Claudius was kind of, you know, remember, Claudius is his brain is great, but he's got the club foot, and he twitches, and he stutters, okay? And Claudius managed to dodge getting killed on several occasions, and Claudius was actually the man in charge of collecting the money at the Senate. And he tried to help people as much as he possibly could and tried to work things out and so forth and so on. In gratitude, Caligula thought it would be funny to have one of the most beautiful women in Rome, a woman named Messalina, a woman of rather dubious honor, as you'll find in our next podcast on the Julio-Claudians, have her marry Claudius, which he did. That was his third wife. And they will have several children. One of them is Britannicus, a boy who should have followed Claudius later on. Caligula loved to go to the games, chariot race, gladiate. Periodically, he liked to irritate the crowd. For example, when someone would, a very popular gladiator would go down and give the sign to be saved, and the crowd would then gesture to let him live, Caligula would just go the other direction and kill him just to irritate everybody. Loved to gamble. Caligula had four wives. Junius was his first wife, Orestilia his second, Lollia Paulina his third, and Sisonia, who I believe was a prostitute and had produced a little child, was his last. Supposedly, Caligula had this habit of kissing the people his girlfriends and whatever, or boyfriends, I always call him trisexual, he'd try anything, kiss their necks and say, with this one word of my mouth, this head, this beautiful head flies off this body, you know, a real sweetie here. Loved horse racing. He loved horse racing to the point that he made his favorite horse, Incitatus, well, he was going to make his favorite horse, Incitatus, co-ruler of the Roman Empire. He certainly made it a senator and it had special senatorial robes that it would wear, and it stayed in the palace and ate in a golden manger, and it actually attended Claudius's wedding to Messalina. But that was kind of the end of it all. Everybody pretty much had had enough. So on January the 24th, 41 A.D., they managed to get Caligula into an area where you leave the royal box to go back into the palace without his guards, and stabbed him to death, and then stabbed Sisonia and the little infant, and then the Praetorian Guard went nuts and went around stabbing other people associated with Caligula, and obviously the German Guard, so there's a lot of massacring going on, and Claudius gets freaked out, and he hides, this is unbelievable, he hides behind a curtain in one of the rooms. As the guards are searching the room, they can see his feet sticking out the bottom of the curtain. So they pull the curtain back, and one guard is getting ready to stab him. The other guard says, no, wait a minute. But that's Uncle Claudius. He's harmless. Don't worry about him. And then they say, wait a minute. Isn't he? He's a member of the royal family, isn't he? What a perfect emperor. Excuse me. So the Praetorian Guard select him against his wishes to become emperor because they think he's an idiot and they can do whatever they want to. And there's this fascinating scene where Claudius goes in to the Senate. The Senate is very unhappy when they're yelling at him and screaming at him and whatever. And Claudius gets up, and for the whole time period, he speaks to them and he says, you know, you don't like me as emperor? Well, what can I say? Tell the people outside the door who selected me against my will to become emperor. He didn't twitch. He didn't stutter. He didn't stammer. He didn't drool. He didn't do anything. And made the comment that, you know, he had lived when others had died. He was just as worthy as the other people. And so he was eventually made Roman emperor. And that's how we get from Caligula to Claudius. And it's getting a little easier, and we're almost to the end. We've got Claudius and Nero, and I'll probably do both of them at the same time. The books for the Julio-Claudian is still the same at this point, which is Suetonius, his 12 Caesars, Michael Grant, the 12 Caesars, and there is a book specifically on Caligula, entitled Caligula, and it's by Barrett, which is really excellent. And it's going to look at the contributions that take place. So don't forget to come by summahistorica.com, and if you haven't, I've done almost 150 podcasts now. Only about 30 of them are on the archive, so come by the website and pick up a couple of CDs. So thank you very much.